And in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who became poor so that we might become rich, rich in his heavenly blessings, dear Christian friends, imagine for a moment that one of our churches in southern Wisconsin burned to the ground. All the churches in the district were going to be asked to maybe take a collection to help them out, and every church was asked except one. It was a real tiny church. It was a church that could hardly keep going. They couldn't support a pastor on their own. The members were elderly, living on small fixed incomes. Their church needed some work, but they just didn't seem to have the means to take care of it. It's the kind of congregation that many people would think should just lock the doors and have the members go somewhere else to some other church. Well, when this congregation heard about the fire, and then also the fact that a collection was being taken in all the churches, but they weren't asked, they begged to be a part of it, and on their own, they took a free will offering and sent it. And the people were shocked at the large amount that this tiny church sent. And what a beautiful example for the other congregations. Not once did this tiny congregation complain about how bad off they were or that they just didn't have anything, that they couldn't participate. No, they gave generously and cheerfully. Now, again, that didn't actually happen in our area. But it did happen to a church in Macedonia during Paul's time. They heard about the need of their fellow Christians in the city of Jerusalem, and also how all the other churches were taking part in a collection for them, but they weren't asked. Listen to what Paul says they did. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. Paul says that they gave beyond their ability, and they wanted to. They begged to give of their own free will. Now, what's the secret behind such an attitude? Paul says, they gave themselves first to the Lord. And that's the encouragement he gives you and me today. This is the key to having a steward's lifestyle. Before any budget is planned, any check written out, any wallet opened, give yourself first to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, it basically means to trust in God completely. Trust in Him with an undivided heart. A heart that believes every promise that He makes. A heart that trusts He's going to take care of us and provide for all of our needs. A heart that finds joy and strength in the grace of our God that will never fail. And how do we know that for sure? Well, it's because He first gave Himself up for us. Paul writes in our text, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." Talk about grace. He who was God over all, the eternal, glorious, and almighty Son of God, with all the riches of heaven belonging to Him, became poor. By taking our poverty on Himself, our debt of sin. And He did that so we could one day share in His heavenly riches. And that's the grace from which our giving overflows. Why would we not give ourselves first to such a gracious Lord who loves us so dearly? He suffered our hell on the cross and paid for our debt of sin that we could be rich toward him. I'm sure a number of you used to watch the television series MASH. Kind of funny program. Well, one of the shows, because of the vast number of wounded that were being brought in, they had to color code the people, the victims. Yellow was good. If you had a yellow tag, that means that your injury was not serious. You could just be given something for the ease of pain a little bit. Could be taken care of later. Blue was good. If you had a blue tag on it, it meant that your injuries were serious. But if you had an operation soon, you'd be okay. Red was bad. If you got a red tag, it meant that the doctor considered you to be hopeless. You just maybe get a shot of morphine to soothe some of the pain and then basically leave you to die. The doctor looked at one soldier whom he considered it to be hopeless and told the nurse to put a red tag on him. Soldier knew what that meant. And so he grabbed the nurse and told her, "Would you please tell my wife and children, my mom and dad, that I love them." Tears were flowing. And this nurse couldn't put that red tag on him. Instead, she put a blue one. About a month passed and a general came to inspect. And he was really looking closely at the sheets with the names of the soldiers who had been treated over the last month or so. And he came across the name that he was looking for. And he asked, "Who switched this tag? Who switched it from a red tag to a blue one?" And the nurse timidly went up and told him it was her. He went up to her and he grabbed her and hugged her and said, "Thank you for what you did. That was my son. And he's alive because of you." You know, my friends, we came into this world wearing red tags. The red tags of sin and shame and selfishness and guilt and death. But Jesus took our red tags and carried them on his body while he hung on a cross. And through his death and resurrection, he placed blue tags on us, the tags of life and hope, forgiveness, and joy. And he paid for those blue tags with his red, holy, precious blood. You see, that red tag that we carried with us had to go somewhere. And so Jesus took it on himself. That's how much he loves us. He took the red tag so that we could have the blue one. He became poor so that we could become rich. And that, my friends, is our secret. That's our power. That's our reason to give our lives in service to our God and to make our lives an offering to him. And to reach out to others with that good news that they too have been saved. And not because of anything they have done, but by grace through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see, my friends, the example of the Macedonian church does involve money and offerings, but it involves so much more. It talks about an attitude, a lifestyle that God wants us Christians to have. They gave themselves first to the Lord. But you notice, instead of commanding the Corinthians to do the same, Paul simply reminds them of the grace of a Savior who became poor for them. And he gave them this encouragement: "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." I mean, the Corinthians, a lot going for them. They had faith. They had knowledge. They had the motivation. They had the love. And now it was time for them to step up to the plate and show that by excelling in the grace of giving. But how can people who are selfish and sinful by nature excel in the grace of giving? Well, the gospel in word and sacrament are the means of grace through which the Holy Spirit empowers us to give ourselves first to the Lord, which will then transform us into living a steward's lifestyle of grace and giving. A man by the name of Vince DiMichilo was at college when the Great Depression started. When the stock market crashed, his family had him move back home. The firm that his father had owned went bankrupt, and they lost their house. When he got home, his father gave him a job of trying to collect some back debts that were owed to the family. So the first place that Vince went, he walked up these broken down steps. It's just really a shack of a house. He knocked on the door. Two little girls answered. They were dirty, almost wearing like rags for clothes. He asked if their mother was there, and they said yes, and the mother came in looking just really beat and tired and asked what he wanted. There was no way that he could ask for any money from this family living in such poverty. So instead, he took the last $2 bill out of his pocket, and he gave it to her and said, "Here, go and take your kids to the circus." Vince went on to become a very successful building contractor, and as he reflected on that experience, this is what he said: "I felt so uplifted about the small gift that I have continued that policy. God helped me develop a lifestyle of giving. I didn't plan it that way, but the more I give, the more I seem to get back in return. That's God's promise in regard to our giving." You know, in the words of our text, Paul refers to those who gave according to their income and even beyond. And God blessed their lives tremendously. And the same is true for us. The opportunity for us to give is, in fact, a gift of God's grace. Our giving is a gift. And it's not a gift from us, but it's a gift to us from God. The opportunity we have to help seek and save those who are lost by telling them about Jesus is a gift of God's grace. The opportunity we have to serve God in our homes, in our churches, is a gift of God's grace. The opportunity we have to excel in the grace of giving to support the gospel ministry of our church is a gift of God's grace. And because of God's grace, we can stop putting our self-interest first and instead give ourselves first to the Lord. Because of God's grace, we can give, serve, and witness generously and cheerfully. My friends, our giving does overflow from the grace of our God. So rejoice, rejoice in the good news that Jesus became poor for you, to pay your debt of sin so that you can enjoy the riches of his heavenly kingdom. Take to heart all the goodness and the kindness and the generosity of your heavenly Father. Give yourself first to the Lord and trust that he's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's promised that. You see, the more fully we keep in mind how richly God has blessed us, the deeper our love and gratitude for him will be. And then also, the greater our desire will be to live the steward's lifestyle and generously give to him all that we have to offer. Amen.